Continuing our series this morning, did you see me then? And I've called it Scriptures Revealed. And I'm going to be referring to Luke chapter 24, which is where our reference verse for the whole series comes from. And we'll be looking at that a bit later on. We'll be turning to Luke chapter 24. And I'm not going to speak specifically about a person or an event that represents Jesus this morning in the Old Testament. I want to do more of a general overview of how we should view the Old Testament as we carry on in the series. You know, the moment Jesus hit the ground as an adult launching his mission, so after he went into the desert to be tested, he came out and he started his mission. He started his 3-year ministry about the kingdom of God. The first thing he did was refer back to what he would call the Tanakh, which is the Hebrew scripture, which we call the Old Testament. It was very, very precious to Jesus. And everything he did and said, a lot of it came out of the Tanakh, the Old Testament. It defined reality for Jesus. Now, I want you to read a passage with me from Luke chapter 4, if you can put it up for us, please. So let's read this together. So this was Jesus. He's just starting his ministry. He's come back to his hometown and he's in the temple or the synagogue. And this is what he says. Let's read it together. Then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Reports about him spread quickly through the whole region. He taught regularly in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. And when he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. Then he rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. And all eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. And then he began to speak to them. The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day. Jesus quotes directly from Isaiah. You know, Jesus doesn't even use his own words. He's literally reading what has been written previously to announce his ministry, to say, this is why I'm here. He assumes those listening would get it because they knew their scriptures. They knew them off by heart. They studied them daily. And he was quoting, taking from that and applying it to his own life. Wow, that must be mind-blowing. And he said, today it starts. Today, all of this you've been reading about from hundreds of years ago, today it starts. You see, he sees his scripture, which he held very precious, as a thing that makes sense of who he is and what he's doing. So they're really, really important that we know them and understand them. You see, the more time we invest in the Old Testament, if you can bring up the next slide for us, please. The more that Jesus will become three-dimensional and in color. Because I think sometimes we see Jesus kind of like two-dimensional in black and white and gray and not really clear. But the more we understand from the Old Testament, the more Jesus will come alive. I don't know if you remember this from the first introduction when it was a photo collage. And those, it's obviously the Queen up there, Queen Elizabeth II. And her face is made up of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of other photos from her life, all merged together to make a photo of a whole. It almost becomes live and living and colourful and three-dimensional. Well, that's the same with Jesus in the Old Testament. As we understand these stories and these readings and the principles, Jesus will become three-dimensional for us. We'll understand more of what he's about, why he came, what we're about, why we're here. So it's really important that we get to grips with the Old Testament and who Jesus was in it. So last week, Duncan introduced to a guy called Cleopas, and he was one of the followers of Jesus who was on the road. I know sometimes we have to put ourselves in these positions. Imagine we were one of those followers of Jesus walking on that road, and this strange guy came and talked to us. It's also quite humorous, I think, some of these stories, you know, it's the way it's going, sort of like and Jesus pretending he didn't know what was going on. What things, Jesus asked. You know, it's quite humorous, isn't it? It's almost like he's got a bit of a sense of humor going on there. And you foolish people, you idiots, what are you doing? And then he spoke a lot about the scriptures, which to him was the Hebrew Bible, the Tanakh. And that's what he was explaining to them on the road. The wonder, the beauty, the truths in the Psalms and the prophets about himself, about who he was and why he came. And I just love that last verse, and it's really probably my reference verse for this morning, verse 32. Bring up the next slide, please. And they said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? Can you get a sense of that? Didn't our hearts burn? When do your hearts burn? When does your heart burn, Steve, for things? After a curry, yeah. But you get a sense of the, you know, the excitement. This is what it means. This is who you are, Jesus. This is what we're about. You are the Messiah. And they'd been doubting that just a few moments before, because Jesus opened their eyes to the scriptures. And that's how wonderful the scriptures are. And that's my prayer this morning as we continue on the series, that this, that our hearts will burn as he opens our eyes to his wonder and his beauty in the scriptures. You know, knowing God's scripture, knowing his word is really important. Really, really important as we seek to understand more about God, more about Jesus, more about this world that we live in, more as we try to get to grip with questions like, why am I here? What's my purpose in this world? Where am I going? And how we can know hope and peace and love in our everyday lives as we look forward to an eternal future. You know, lack of knowledge of Scripture is widespread. And I was going to do a bit of a survey which was taken about story, you know, you think be well-known things in the Bible, even characters. And the answers they were getting, this is in America, this survey, and it was quite shocking what people didn't know, who supposedly were churchgoers, who supposedly knew God's word. Maybe an example of this tells us of a preacher who was asked to teach kids' church one week in the absence of the regular teacher. And he decided that he wanted to see what they knew. And so he asked what he thought was going to be an obvious question. So he asked, who knocked down the walls of Jericho? And all the children denied having done it. It wasn't me, sir. It wasn't me. You know, the preacher was appalled. He was appalled by their ignorance. And at the next leaders meeting, he told them about this experience, and he says, you know, not one of them knew who knocked down the walls of Jericho. And the group was silent until finally one of the other leaders spoke up and he said, preacher, this appears to be bothering you an awful lot. But I've known all those children since they were born, and they're all good boys and girls. And if they said they didn't do it, I believe them. Let's just take some money out of the repair maintenance fund, fix the walls, and let it go at that. Knowing God's word is really, really important, which is why we're doing this series. So as we seek to try and understand Scripture, I'd like to briefly this morning to consider three main themes of the Bible as we look at Jesus in the Old Testament. If you can bring up a slide for me, please. First of all, the Bible is messianic literature. In other words, the story of the whole Bible and all of its main themes come to their fulfillment in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Bible is messianic literature. That's theme number one. Theme number two, how we're chosen but corrupted. How we are chosen but corrupted. And I'll come back to that. And thirdly, how we should see the Messiah in every story in the Bible. And again, I will look further at that in a moment. So first of all, the Bible is messianic literature. If we can have a next slide, please. The Hebrew Bible, a Bible Jesus read, is messianic wisdom literature that leads people to understand that their need is to be rescued by a Messiah, who we now know as Jesus. Obviously, when it was written, they didn't have Jesus' name, but we now know that. The Bible is one unified story that leads to Jesus. He was there, as Bill showed us, right at the beginning. And he's there right at the end of Scripture. It's one unified story of Jesus. That's really important to get hold of as you read the Bible. Because knowing that shapes how you read it. So you read it in context. You read it with that in mind. So this, how is this about the Messiah then, what I'm reading? How is this about this rescuer who's coming when you're reading passages in the Old Testament? We're going to go to Luke 24 now, like I said we would at the beginning. And we're going to go to the verses 44, which is our reference verse for this series. But we're going to read from verse 44 through to verse 49. And in this bit, Jesus gets the opportunity with his disciples to summarize himself what the scriptures are all about. It's kind of like a scripture 101. Have you heard of that phrase before? A 101 means it's like the basic meaning of something. It's the fundamental underlying thing or a thing. So this is Jesus' summary of what's in his scriptures and how he reads them. Let's read together, shall we? Verse 44 to verse 49. Then he said, "When I was with you before, I told you everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said, "Yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of all these things. And now, I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." You know, if there's ever one Bible study I'd have liked to have been in, it's that one, in verse 45. And then Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Oh, to have been a fly on the wall of that Bible study, to hear it directly from his mouth. But you know, here's a basic summary Jesus is saying. You read the Hebrew scriptures, the Torah, and the Psalms, the prophets. And here's the things that I want you to see that you ought to get from them. And there's 3 points. The Messiah is to suffer and die. The second point, the Messiah is to rise from the dead on the third day. And the third one, the message of repentance and forgiveness of sins are to be announced in his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. See, according to Jesus, talking to disciples there in Luke, that's the summary right there. That's what his scriptures were telling him. And that's what he's telling his side. These are things that you ought to get. When you read them, these are the things, if I have to put a summary on them. And that's really important to understand that, because as you know that, and as you know that's a summary, it affects how you read the scriptures. See, once somebody's compelled by Jesus, are interested in him, and they want to understand him more in greater depth, just like his disciples were, and they follow him. Apparently for Jesus, as recorded here, that means learning how to reckon, how to understand the first three quarters of our Bible, which was his Bible. How to get to grips with it. It's specifically about his identity as Israel's Messiah, as Israel's deliverer. To get to grips about a suffering and a death and a recreation of life, a resurrection connected with the third day. And that Israel's Messiah is to go through that experience on behalf of and for all of humanity as a whole. You see, in Luke 24, Israel's story opens up to an all nations story. That repentance and forgiveness be experienced by all the nations. For Jesus, this is what the whole thing is about. So whatever any individual part of the Hebrew scriptures are about, for Jesus, they're all brought together in this common storyline, in this common theme, in this common thread. Every part of it connects as a united whole into one story that leads to him and then goes out from him. I wonder what scriptures Jesus in that Bible study was referring to when he was reading them to the disciples. He said about scriptures revealed long ago. And then he opened her eyes to see what they mean. So I've picked eight random readings, which I've given to some of you, just maybe to see, maybe Jesus used these readings to explain who he was and why he came and what the Old Testament, what the Hebrew scriptures were about. So first of all, the Messiah is to suffer and die, the first point. What readings could Jesus have used maybe to reinforce that point? Somebody's got Isaiah 53, if they'd like to read it. Nice and loud, please, from where you're sat.
He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, the punishment that brought us peace was on him. By his wounds we are healed. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before its shearers is silent, but he did not make his mouth. But he was cut off from the land of the living for the transgression of my people, he was punished. He was assigned a grave as wicked and was rich in his death.
Scriptures revealed long ago, that was roughly about 700 years prior to Jesus' time. 700 years describing precisely what he went through. We then, most of these from Isaiah and Psalms. Someone's got Psalm 22, and this is about 1,000 years before Jesus came. Psalm 22.
My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries and anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax, and melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs surround me, a pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my God.
The Messiah is to suffer and die. But the Messiah is then to rise on the third day. And another, again from Psalm 16, 1,000 years before, this is what it says.
Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand.
And Isaiah 53:11.
After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied.
And then finally from One from Matthew 12, but it's quoting from Jonah that was written about 750 years previously.
For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth.
The Messiah is to rise on the third day. And then finally, the message of repentance and forgiveness of sins that will be announced in his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. Isaiah 59, verse 20.
For the female will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who repent of their sins, to their Lord.
Zion, another word for Jerusalem. Psalm 32, verse 1.
Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered.
Psalm 103.
Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love.
The message of repentance and forgiveness of sins are to be announced, beginning in Jerusalem. You know, it could have been any of those, could have been none of them. Don't know what Jesus actually used. But the truth is there, revealed 100,000 years before it actually happened. How amazing is that? And here is Jesus showing us why he came. Just a few examples. There are hundreds more. So next, chosen but corrupted was the next one I wanted to look at. Another theme that is in Scripture. You see, the story of God's chosen people is ultimately about the Messiah. So, from the opening of the Bible, Genesis 1, Genesis 2, God chooses human partners, humans, to partner with him on a mission to rule the earth and bear his image. Do you remember that? Adam and Eve, and God created them, and he created them in his image, and he asked them to rule the earth. But when Adam and Eve corrupt that mission, the story takes a turn toward a theme that we encounter again and again in the Scriptures. God chooses one person to be a blessing to others and lead them back towards a covenant partnership with himself. Now, Steve spoke about Noah the other week. Noah is a great example of that, an early example, soon after what happened in Eden. But you know, Noah starts another pattern that replays again and again. God's chosen partners fail. They repeat the sin that first happened in Eden. Even Israel's royal priests and legendary king proved to be corrupt. And it's this continual cycle of a story that repeats again and again and again. All of these human failings are designed to generate an expectation of a coming royal leader. Human leader. Who will bear God's image, just like in Adam and Eve, they bear God's image, without corruption. And lead his people, his chosen people, into a renewed partnership, covenant partnership, with himself, and renewed, restored relationship with God. And this leader is the Messiah. That theme repeats over and over in the Scriptures. Of us needing to be rescued, God choosing us and loving us, but us getting it horribly wrong. And then he needs someone to save us, to rescue us. We need rescued. And finally, the Messiah in every story. You see, not every passage in the Bible will be about the entire biblical story. But every passage will play off the themes introduced, that I've just said, in Genesis 1 and 2, and developed throughout the Hebrew Bible. So humans fail. They're worthy of God's justice. But instead of humans receiving that justice, a righteous intercessor who is willing to lay down his life, steps in and saves humanity. So an example of this, Exodus 32, Moses. And Exodus 32 is full of imagery again from Genesis 1 and 2. So God has delivered his people from Egypt. You all know, most of you know the story. And he's leading them to the promised land, and the promised land is described to be like Eden. But right after telling the Israelites not to construct any idol images, because they themselves are the images of God, remember God made us in his image, what did they do? Well, the people do just that, and they construct a golden calf. So Moses, he intercedes on behalf of the people. And God relents. See, in this story, Moses is not only fulfilling the role for which God created humanity, and that role is to be his image and to be his representatives here on this earth. So Moses is taking that role on. He is acting like the Messiah, putting himself in the place of the sinful Israelites who've got it all wrong. And God was going to judge them. Moses even expected to die, if you read the account. But God listens to Moses, and he spares the Israelites. So that's kind of like the nutshell of a story, the theme, the what is going on here in all these repeated things that are going on in Scripture. And you can go on and on with different people, and we will do over the next few months. But it's important to say that how we read the Bible in that overall context is really important. Now, for example, in that story we've just talked about Moses and what's happening there, if we take the Bible like a theology dictionary, as a reference book, you could say things like, oh, it raises a question like, God changed his mind. That's really important in that story. God changes his mind. Because he was going to destroy the Israelites, and then he didn't. Now, that is interesting. God changed his mind. But it's a side issue. It's not the main point, not the main theme of what the story is about and what God wants to get through it. So if we went off down a tangent and started forming a church of God Changes His Mind Church, and we set our little over here, and those people over there didn't think God does change his mind, so we're going to have another church over here, and they become theology arguments. And theology is important. But only in the context of the overall theme, the overall picture. We must read Scripture in the light of that overall story about the Messiah to stop us getting sidetracked on side issues. Things that we can disagree over very easily. And there are lots of them. Now, it isn't that these aren't important, these other issues, because you can talk about them. And they do mean something. But understanding that the whole picture is about the Messiah and about Jesus, who he was, why he came, why we need him, stops us from being sidetracked onto issues that aren't the central theme of the Bible. The central theme is humans fail and are worthy of God's justice. And that's a crisis. But instead of humans receiving that justice, a righteous intercessor, someone who's willing to lay down his life, steps in and saves humanity. Exodus 32, Moses acts, it says, as a servant of the Lord. And that's a portrait, a picture picked up later by the prophet Isaiah about the suffering servant. However, Isaiah's servant is never named. Instead, the servant is held up as a person humanity desperately needs, a rescuer. And it is this role that Jesus fulfills in the Gospel accounts. It was that role, if you remember, that Jesus quoted from in the synagogue. He read from the prophet Isaiah about why he'd come. Because it's all about Jesus. See, this change of focus as we read any story in the Bible, and not taking them out of context, not taking stories sort of stand alone and trying to get what we want them to mean. For instance, if we take the story of David defeating Goliath, instead of asking maybe who our personal giants are, we should be asking what David's actions reveal about who the Messiah is. It's not that we can't get some good stuff out of the Bible about giants and about things we should be conquering in our lives. But it's not the central theme about that story. It's about the Messiah and about how he saved us. So to wrap up, you know, the Bible is a story for all of us. As Steve said, it's not a story as in a pretend story. It's a story that is an account of reality. But it's a really, really, really important story. The Messiah is God who became human to show us our true identity and purpose. And following Jesus, the Messiah, means uniting with him, imitating him, by sacrificing ourselves and reclaiming the image of God for all humanity. God wants us to be his representatives, his image, his workers, to rule with him. And as Jesus follows, we can reclaim that. And we can take the love, the compassion, the wisdom to this world that he's put us in. See, that makes a story of the Bible personal, but not private, because it's a story for all of us. And Jesus wants us to share that message, this message of the Messiah, the 3 points we looked at earlier, why he came. He wants us to share it with all of humanity, with the whole world. He promised to send us the Holy Spirit to empower us to fulfill that commission. And as we continue to see Jesus in this teaching series, as we go on, in so many ways, we will see Jesus. My prayer is that we will see him for who he is, for what he's done for each one of us, and where we fit in. You know, that will empower us to live lives of love in his service, sharing the good news all around us. And just as those disciples, those followers on the road to Emmaus, after Jesus left them, and they exclaimed, if you can put that verse up again for us, please, Matt. Didn't our hearts burn within us as he explained the scriptures to us? I want us to be excited about God's scriptures. I want to be excited about what they reveal to us every week that actually makes a difference in our lives and how we live, that we don't get sidetracked by side issues and arguments that aren't the main theme. Jesus is the theme. His love for this world is the theme. God's love for us through Jesus is what it's all about. And we need to take that to the world around us in a simple way, as God's representatives, as his image. I've asked Jonathan to lead a worship time now, and there's a song that just came to mind as I was thinking about this verse. And it's Build Your Kingdom Here. If we can put this is the second verse of that song. Let's just read it. Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Make it clear, Lord. Why am I here? Why did you create me? Come, set our hearts ablaze with hope. And light wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come, invade us now. We are your church, and we need your power. That burning power of Jesus as revealed in Scripture, as he reveals it by his Holy Spirit, we need that in us. And we need to know why we're made. And that's a revelation that he brings by his Holy Spirit through his word. We need his power in us this morning. We need our hearts to be ablaze and like wildfire so that we can be his image, his representatives. Let's not lose sight of that as we go through this whole series of seeing Jesus. That's why we're doing it. So Jesus is real. And our hearts just burn and are ablaze for him. Amen.